Hello, everybody out there in internet land. It is your host, Pink Ranger Brian Massey, and I am joined once again by Blue Ranger Michael Linnenbaum. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. Welcome to Voices from the Grid, the show that you're actually listening to.
Yep. Good. Did I not say Voices from the Grid?
No, you did not, good sir. But it's okay.
What did I say?
You just said welcome to the show.
Oh. Let me try that. Welcome to Voices from the Grid. I'm your host, Brian Massey. And again, being accompanied by Michael Linnenbaum. And we have three good episodes this time, I think, I want to say.
I mean, Rocky gets turned into a plant.
Yeah. I mean, what else is new? No, I'm kidding. So we have three episodes for you today. Invasion of the Ranger Snatchers, Graduation Blues, and A Few Bad Seeds. And let's go ahead and give you the synopsis from Ranger Wiki, because we actually have that this time, for Invasion of the Ranger Snatchers. So Rocky is starstruck when he, Catherine, and Tanya become extras in a sci-fi film shooting in Angel Grove. The movie-making bud also, I meant to say bug, also bites Princess Reb. I can't talk today. The movie-making bug also bites Prince Sprocket, but he decides that what he really wants to do is direct. Direct the end of the Power Rangers, that is. So this episode literally begins with what looks to be one of the crappiest movies ever made being made.
Have you looked at the Hallmark Channel?
That's a great point.
And anything that ends up on sci-fi, like Sharknado.
Yeah. I was a businesswoman in the city, but all I needed to do was give up all that and realize that you were here on a farm in the middle of nowhere. That's what I really needed. And that's like this episode. So there's all these, like, the main actor is kind of a diva who, like, gets his pinky, like, sprained because someone blocked a punch. And Rocky, Cat, and Tanya are extras on set. And Rocky says, and I quote, "This acting stuff is easy. I could do it with my eyes closed. And I wish Ben was here for this."
Because that's not how acting works.
No. That will never not be hilariously ironic to me. And then he almost gets his head chopped off by some swinging jig or whatever. And I guess the sidekick says, like, "I attended Juilliard. I'm better than this." And he hands in his mask, his, like, $2, you know, domino mask from, you know, Spirit of Halloween. And Rocky winds up getting cast as the sidekick on this movie. So what are your thoughts on Rocky acting like a diva and being jealous of the movie star and being like, if they just... like, this is his, like, "Oh, God, I dream of Broadway" moment, kind of, you know? Like, just give me a chance.
I mean, in a way, it's, like, that's kind of, like, how everyone is, though, in acting. It's, like, they look at what they do, and then they go, "I can do that." And then when they get to do it, they go, "Oh, it's not that simple as you think it would be," because you end up finding out that, like, they do multiple shots of things. So it's like, it's not just a shot of you doing, you know, because you have to do the different camera angles and stuff like that. So it's like something that you think, like, "Oh yeah, it's just easy. Just remember the lines, say the lines, and that's it." It's like, no, you got to, like, say it over, like, 20 times for just, like, a shot.
Say it over, remember the tone, remember what the motivation is for the scene. You have to have consistency for that kind of stuff too, and that can be really hard. I've been in that situation before, and yeah, it's not as easy as it, like, would seem. We would know. So Sprocket kind of gets this wild hair up his butt that he wants to be a director, and he sends some Sprockets down to steal some costumes from the movie set that Rocky, Cat, and Tanya are on. And these guys wind up becoming villains, one of which becomes Leaky Faucet and Oily to Bed, Oily to Rise, which we've already reviewed. Did he sound different in that episode compared to here?
Nah, he sounded about the same. They probably did, like, some minor tweaks here or there, but he sounded about the same.
He sounded just goofy, you know? He didn't sound like... he didn't sound like that.
Yeah.
In this episode, which... I don't know. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on the overall plan to, like, steal that, steal those suits, make a movie, and then, like, trap the Rangers in this weird movie set thing? And I'll get into more details about that, but, like, what do you think about this idea?
I mean, technically, we saw that before in the previous season. You know, we see it in every season where, like, the Rangers get trapped in some weird dimension where the baddie tries to kill them or whatever. You know, we see it every season, at least once or twice. So it's like, this is, it's just a different way of doing it. Although we're going to get a much better version of it when we get to, you know, Time Force, because they did it so much better there.
Yeah.
But that also helps because they had Vernon Wells, who was actually in Mad Max, and then they did the Mad Max spoof in the one episode, and he just had a blast with it. Just throwing that out there.
Well, what also, and I want to throw this out to anybody too, there's two Sentai seasons that really do this really well too, one of which is Toad Future. They have an episode where, you know, the Rangers are kind of trapped on a movie set. But then also, I recall Akiba Ranger, which is the unofficial, like, Hikonin Sentai. They do an episode like that, too, where it's all, like, behind-the-scenes stuff where they get trapped in some weird dimension like that. But anyways, we kind of get this weird parody of Speed and a bunch of other different tropes where the Rangers, who have been locked away in this green room that would not be out of place in Twin Peaks, which... spoiler alert, also was on Fox back in the day, find out how to leave the set Sprocket has trapped them on. So there's this bus hauling ass down the road that disturbs some chickens that wind up coming through a portal, and they know that it's the same chickens from that because there's a TV broadcasting this that Clank's been kind of taunting them on, which is really funny. So they go through that, and they save the people trapped on this bus by riding horses down the road and pulling the innocent people on board out of it before it explodes. What's going on? Like that was a fever dream to watch.
It is Speed meets 310 to Yuma. Speed meets Chicken Run. Meets meets Barney Barney and Friends.
I love you, you love me. Let's not crash. Sorry. I probably spiked the audio there. Yeah, that was a lot. Honestly, it was entertaining. It was fun to watch. So I can't just sit here and go, oh, that was dumb. No, it was fun to watch. And because it takes place in a weird alternate dimension, rules don't apply there. So they can do stuff like that, you know? What movie do you wish that they would have parodied? If you had an option, just pull a movie out of your butt. Like, which one do you wish that they would have
Let's parodied? See here. Let's see what they note in here.
Kind of waiting for a Power Rangers season to parody, like, and I know this will never happen, but maybe this would happen in Sentai, like they parody John Wick.
I mean, I don't know, and I really kind of don't care, because, and here's why, like, one, if they're going to parody it, I just want them to do a funny parody of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you also have to look at the time frame of when they do said parody. So it's like, like,
it has to be topical.
It has to be topical. It has to make sense, and they just have to make it funny for the parody. That's all I really care about. Like, I'm not going to go out like, oh, well, I really wish they had parodied this. Why? What's the motive behind it? You know.
Right. Well, speaking of Power Rangers and parodies, I won't take up too much time, but just as a quick aside, I want to recommend this to anybody who's maybe seen Jetman. Because I watched all of Tekkai Sentai Zenkaiger, and they do a parody of the final episode with Jet Condor. And let me just say, if you know, you know, but I'm not going to spoil anything, but it is hilarious. And I think that that's one of the few times that Sentai really parodied like itself like that. Like, and I know there's been times where they've done that, but that one just really stands out in particular. So the Rangers get free and they wind up fighting not Leaky Faucet, but this thing called Bucketables. Am I right there?
I believe so, yeah.
And this,
let's see here.
Because I think you mentioned too that like they had fused, like,
yeah, yeah. It's Bucket of Bolts, who is voice acted by Richard Epcar, who I have interviewed.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, he is also known for doing like the Joker in some of the video games, like Mortal Kombat 11 and stuff like that.
Ah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. What I love about this fight scene between Bucket of Bolts and the Zeo Megazord is, you know, they can't really get a strike on him. And then Bucket of Bolts turns into a train. And instead of, like, blasting it or, like, swiping at the train, they just take out the bridge. And it falls to its doom and it explodes.
Sounds accurate.
And it was amazing. I love that. Yeah, I mean, you know what it kind of reminded me of was Back to the Future Part 3. If there was a giant robot in that. So meanwhile, Bulk and Skull are in this episode, and their main job is security detail. And like I mentioned before, the cogs come on set and nobody recognizes that, oh, it's the cogs, including Bulk and Skull, even though they had an encounter with them like a couple of episodes ago when they were testing out the bike.
I think so, it's just simply because they're on set, people are in costumes and stuff like that. It's just like, it's something that you can kind of overlook a little bit.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I feel like if I ran into something like that in the field and it was like threatening me, but then I sat on the set, I'd be like, I would be a little more than just curious about, hey, what's that thing?
Yeah.
But that's just me. And then, yeah, they spend the whole episode eating, but then it turns out that Skull gets a job as Rocky's stunt double.
I like how Skull gets, like, all the good stuff this season.
Yeah. I mean, I think Skull deserves it. I mean, yeah, because he's... I will say, Jason Narvi is really showing his acting chops this season.
He has been showing his acting chops for a while now at this point on the show.
Yeah. But, and ironically, like, I feel like he's the one, like, in real life that was given a chance here because, you know, Rocky's like, if they just saw how good I was, but, like, this is, the producer's going, hey, man, that Narvi guy is really, really good. Let's give him more stuff to do besides just laugh and parrot Bulk.
Yeah.
And it's paying off, I feel. I kind of appreciated that. And then, like, the episode ends and movie gets made, and God, that movie's got to be awful. Because it looks like, you know what it looks like to me is it looks like a crappier version of the movie that they're parodying in Tonight by Smashing Pumpkins. Have you ever seen the music video?
Probably not, because I don't watch a lot of music videos.
Well, okay, so it was a music video that came out, and it was parodying Journey to the Moon, which was one of the first movies that ever came out, and they had, like, Ninja Turtle stunt actors in it, and also, like, the main actor in it was Tom Kenny from SpongeBob, and it was filled with, like, it felt very much like that, like, this movie kind of felt like a crappier version of that, where it's like, I'm a superhero, and I'm on the moon, and curl mustache. I'm really glad I don't live in the universe where that's the standard for superhero movies, because I would be so bummed out. But let's move on to Graduation Blues.
Yes.
And I've got the synopsis here, if my tablet will cooperate with me.
This is actually a sad episode.
Yeah. And I'll go ahead and bury the lead here, because I have it in my notes, but this felt like this was actually, like, the finale for Billy, for, like, David Yost. Like, this I think could have worked as, like, his final episode. Spoiler alert, it's not his final episode. But, man, this kind of felt like it, didn't it?
This would have been a good final episode for him.
Yeah, because he leaves strong, you know, not to use, like, too many wrestling terms, but, like, you know, he's not diminished, you know, he doesn't leave looking any weaker. You know, he leaves after graduating from high school unexpectedly, and the first thing he does after not knowing what to do with his time is he gets to go to Aquitar to help them out. So, dude, homie gets to leave the planet, which at this point in the way that things are going, I am jealous of Billy so hard. The synopsis here is that Principal Kaplan has revealed to Billy, like I just said, that he's earned all the credits that he needed to graduate. Later, Sestra returns to Earth to enlist Billy's help with a new piece of technology, but Billy realizes in order to finish the job, he must go to Aquitar. Contacts be damned. So, this episode kind of starts off with a bit of a, bit of a surprise. First and foremost, when's the last time that we saw Principal Kaplan?
It had been a while. And let's see here. If this will cooperate. He does have... So in Mighty Morphin, he has 22 appearances. He only has 2 appearances in Zeo. And and 4 in Turbo.
Wait, he has more appearances in Turbo than he does in Zeo?
Yes.
That's weird.
Well, I mean, kind of keep in mind, in Turbo is when they start really shifting away from Angel Grove. Because that's when, you know, Tommy and them all graduate from high school, officially. So, there's a bit of a reason to have Kaplan around a little bit up to lead up to that point.
Yeah, but then you also wind up with, like, TJ and Carlos and them. They're all of a sudden going to Angel Grove High, so it's like, oh, great, we're back in high school. And even, like, Andros kind of walks around in the high school for a little bit and in space or whatever. But, yeah, it's just, it's a little weird to me that, like, he only shows up for 2 episodes of Zeo when so much of this is still set at Angel Grove High. But,
And apparently, so, apparently in the future, and the Education Award Alyssa Enrilly receives, and I'm trying to figure out who she is. Oh, she's from, she's the white, Wild Force White Tiger Ranger.
Oh, okay.
Apparently she receives an award possibly named after him, implying that he became famous in the meantime, like, since the events of Turbo.
Or he just got honored for his years of dedication and service to Angel Grove High or something.
Yeah.
You know, they name things after people all the time like that. So, a couple things. First and foremost, there's a board, and you can't really make it out because of the quality of the video about who's on, like, the honor roll, but it looks like Bulk and Skull are permanently on the detention list. Even though they're cops still, like, maybe he just didn't move that, and he's like, I'm just gonna leave that up there. But, Billy finds out from Captain that he's got enough credits to graduate from the school. he's somehow taken more classes and earned more credits than anyone else at the school, and he still maintained a 4.0 GPA. Kaplan hands him a piece of paper, and Billy's done graduated. And, question, like, first and foremost, how does the timetable here work? Like, are Tommy and the gang still, like, juniors somehow, even though, like, what grade are they in?
So, in theory, in this time frame, they have to be, like, juniors or seniors in high school.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, there's no way that Tommy is, like, a sophomore.
Yeah. Like, they have to be, you know, they have to be somewhere in there. So, yeah, so, it's just a little confusing. Just a little bit.
So, Billy suddenly doesn't know what to do with himself. And the Rangers wind up throwing Billy a very last-minute party. Now, in the meantime, Bulk and Skull were on trash duty because, you know, Stone is Stone. And he's like, hey, guess what? You have the honor and duty of cleaning up after our police party. They then make Rito and Goldar do it, but before they can even get up to it, there's a crash. There's a spaceship there, and sure enough, it's Sestro, the blue alien ranger from last season. Everybody loses their minds, and I kind of love that Goldar and Rito are freaking out because of, quote-unquote, an alien. Bulk then greets Sestro, which means he doesn't recognize him from the Alien Rangers arc. Does that then confirm that the people of Angel Grove don't remember those events from Alien Rangers then?
I don't know. It's still a very confusing time.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to give you a fair answer in regards to that because I wouldn't even know.
I mean, it does, it kind of gives some kind of confirmation, though, that, like, oh, okay, anybody who's not a Power Ranger doesn't remember all of a sudden being kids again.
Pretty weird. Much. It's never been properly explained. It's always very confusing, and I try not to think too much about it because it might make my brain explode.
My brain meets. So Sestro needs to speak to Billy, and the reason why I cut back to that was because, again, the Rangers throw Billy a very last-minute party, like I said. Skull tracks him down at this party, and Sestro asks for Billy's help on a very urgent matter. So Sestro has sought Billy's help while fighting back against this group called the Hydra Contaminators, who are threatening to pollute the waters of Aquitar and make it uninhabitable. And man, I got deja vu from this because wasn't this what the hog, what was his name, the hog from episode 10 was doing, the space hog? Oh, what was his name?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the hog, but it's kind of like about the same thing. Yeah,
it's almost the same thing. And we find out that one of them has traveled to Earth. And, you know, they're like, well, I'm going to take out Sestro, but I might as well pollute the waters of Earth, too, while I'm at it. Which, again, plot point that we've seen before. And it's weird because it's not that we saw this plot point before, but it's that it's happening so close to, like, it's only how many episodes? Like, maybe 10 since Alien Rangers arc? And it's like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, something so like that.
That's why it feels kind of weird to me. Sestro needs Billy's help with building this thing. And I don't know. I kind of like seeing the Power Rangers protecting Sestro in his time of need during a lot of these fights and, like, offering to help him out. And they even mention, hey, man, you saved our butts when we were not able to morph in the Rangers. How did you feel about, like, this coming full circle and the Power Rangers kind of, you know, coming back and saying, okay, you know what? You need our help and we kind of owe you one. What did you think about this plot line?
I it made sense. I love how it's like, oh, Billy graduated high school. He doesn't know what to do with himself anymore. And hey, Sestra just conveniently stops by. So it's like convenience of the plot.
I just thought of something too. The hydro contaminators, because it gets mentioned that they declare war on the Thracians, the guys from Akatar. Could it be that because they defeated their major nemesis, the hog from episode 10 of Alien Rangers, that there was like, was there like a power vacuum or something, and then they came in and like took over where he was?
No idea. I wouldn't be able to tell you that.
Well, that's my headcanon. That's what I'm saying. Like, these guys stepped in where there was a vacuum, and now they're declaring war, and cycle continues. So yeah, I think that's kind of poetic, and
when you look at it from a story plot convenience, it makes sense. Like, they just didn't, yeah, they just didn't do something for the sake of doing something. They did something that made sense in the long run. You know, they had established this relationship already between Billy and the Alien Rangers, you know, during the whole Zeo Crystal search saga. And it makes sense. It's like, who are you going to come to? Billy. But one of the things that isn't talked about is, I love how when Bulk and Skull see Sestro and Sestro goes, I need to see Billy, they know who he's talking about. And they actually secure Billy and bring Billy the Sestro.
I think they even do something like, is this the one that you're talking about? And Sestro goes, yeah.
And it's like, but the thing is, though, is that like the fact that like Sestro's like, I need to see Billy, and they kind of know who he's talking about, because they're like, here's an alien. Who would be the Billy that would talk to an alien? And it's automatically Billy Cranston. You know, it makes it, like, the fact that they were able to do it properly the first time and not bring, like, multiple Billies to Sestro, like, that was, like, a great moment for Bulk and Skull.
Yeah. I really love that. And there's also, and there's not much to say about it, but there's also this chase that happens where, like, Stone finds Goldar and Vito guarding the spaceship to, you know, help out Bulk and Skull. And there's kind of this game of cat and mouse where, and it also leads into the second episode, or the third episode that we're going to talk about too, where Stone's telling them about, hey, you know, I saw these monsters and we got to track them down. And he even like chases after them and says, you're under arrest, which is probably the most work Lieutenant Stone has done in ever. You know, there's this whole thing where like they're hiding and Bulk and Skull have to just kind of chase them out or wait them off and be like, no, don't go away, go away, we're gonna get in trouble if you don't hide. That was kind of fun to watch, and it definitely helped lighten the mood when you hear about a war going on Akatar. And then, like I said, we have a hydro contaminator that comes down. And I kind of wanted to talk real fast, because I've actually seen the episode of O-Ranger that they get this monster from. And hopefully this gives some context as to how the monster works, because you do see this monster kind of, like, go invisible for a second. And King Mondo seems really happy to, like, send down Cogs to help it fight the Power Rangers. This was actually, I believe, one of the first monsters that King Mondo sends down to fight the O-Rangers in O-Ranger. And the main plot of that was that there was a kid that had seen the ancient scrolls that gave the O-Rangers their powers. So the Machine Empire equivalent, Baron Noia, sent this monster down to scan his memories so that they can reverse engineer the O-Rangers' powers. And there was like a diamond in the middle, and it was used to like siphon the brainwaves or something from this kid. So the reason why you don't see a whole lot of Japanese footage of this monster is because half the time he's chasing after this Japanese kid. So yeah, they kind of gave this thing like an entirely different backstory, and I'm totally okay with that. What did you think about the finale here, though? Because obviously the Rangers dispatch it. Billy winds up leaving. Like, let's talk about this. Like, what did you think about the way that they sent off Billy?
I actually like it because it kind of cliffhangers Billy a little bit in the future. Like, obviously later down the road, because we've already recorded the stuff, you know, we have the teases of another Ranger and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's a good way to like cliffhanger it. Plus it also, you know, gives the Rangers that regret that they couldn't say goodbye to Billy before he leaves to go to Aquitar.
Yeah.
To help the alien Rangers. So it's like, it's kind of a bittersweet moment, but in a weird way, an appropriate moment to end this.
Because
to end what could be Billy's final run, which in reality, Billy comes back in 1, 2, 3. He literally comes back 4 episodes later. So he's only gone for technically 3 episodes, with the 4th episode. He's in the episode, but he's not officially back yet to the team.
Yeah. I think that it would have been really interesting if, like, this is where David Yost just said, I'm done. And this, because this felt appropriate, because, and not to jump ahead too much, but like, they do this thing where, like, David Yost had already left, and they get this older guy to portray him, and they use the whole, well, the aging device that they had in the Zeo Quest episodes. It's aging him rapidly, and Aquitar has a cure, but like, they have to send him out there. That felt way less appropriate than, say, this, because here, this leaves the door open for Billy to return at any time, because obviously it's a known fact that people can travel back and forth from Aquitar. It's not like, oh, we're never going to see you again. But imagine if they had just said, okay, this is where Billy's character is signing off. And it kind of raises a lot of challenges for the Rangers, because all of a sudden they don't have a tech guy anymore. The final person from that original team of 5 is gone. And they do it respectfully and in a way where, man, you really miss Billy. I kind of wish that this had been his send-off.
Yeah, it would have made a lot more sense to make it the send-off.
Yeah. Because it works so well. And, you know, I got a little emotional watching that. I was like, Billy coming back? Like, and then credits roll, and it's kind of weird to go from that to A Few Bad Seeds, because A Few Bad Seeds is arguably the episode that's not pulling its weight the most in these episodes of 3. Let me get the synopsis up here. Any final thoughts about Graduation Blues before we move on?
No, I mean, it was the right send-off for Billy if that was going to be his last episode, which we know is not, because he comes back like four episodes later. And this is actually the first episode, Few Bad Seeds, where we actually don't have, you know, Billy, which actually would have probably been a really good episode to have Billy in, given about what happens in this episode.
Yep, Alpha kind of has to go on his own with this. So the synopsis for A Few Bad Seeds, once again, thanks to Ranger Wiki, is that the Rangers attend herbology class because there's not a hobby that they just won't not do. And Rocky makes the mistake of using experimental seeds, resulting in a metal-eating plant. Skull steals part of it for his project, and then King Mondo takes them and turns them into monsters. Rocky is sprayed by their pollen, raising, which causes him to turn into a goofy plant-human hybrid. And So let's start with this, because this is probably, in my opinion, the dumbest setup for an episode. We start off in the greenhouse from Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. And of course, Book and Skull and some of the Rangers are part of the Botany Club, because plot convenience. And Rocky has managed to somehow crossbreed two plants that led to an overnight blossoming of a plant that's grown over a foot in height. The problem is, he can't recall which two plants he crossbred. That immediately raises a million questions, but Adam takes it upon himself to say, okay, well, where did you get the seeds? And Rocky says, oh, out of some bags that were in the back there. So, does Rocky just not know how to read now?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that, Ben. Episode's done. Now, okay, Rocky, you have managed to somehow make a metal-eating version of Audrey 2.
Yeah, he made Audrey 3.
With, you know, like, Rocky, you know, like, and the damn thing's eating, like, badgers and, like, rakes and all these things, and Rocky's just like, man, oh, man. Like, he stumbled so far forward that he's automatically a stupid genius. Because, like, how did this happen? Like, it's not like Rita planted some evil seed that's like, they're going to plant these seeds, and all of a sudden they're in for a surprise when it grows, because that sounds like something Rita would do.
Oh, wait, Rita did do that.
Yeah, she did, actually, with the cactus, I think. So... you're telling me then that there's seeds on campus at Angel Grove High that are capable of turning into metal-eating, like I said, Audrey 3, basically.
Yeah.
What?
And this episode has been brought to you by Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep. Gotta feed my seed. Anyways, so, like I said, Bulk and Skull wind up accidentally feeding this thing their badge, some scissors, but then Skull winds up getting a little bit of a flower off of this thing and plants his own, and we then find out, because Lieutenant Stone just has to follow them everywhere, he just can't leave them alone, even when they're doing something like botany class, that, Lieutenant Stone was a founding member of the Angel Grove Botany Club. Just like he wrote his own book about coffee, and just like he's done a million things, which I think in the next episode that you host, we're going to find out he also runs a faxing gym or something, because why not? He wants to make sure they don't besmirch the name of this botany club, so he takes them to this... he takes them to this place called Manure City.
Sounds like my type of place.
Yeah, you'd fit in great there. No, I'm kidding. So, could you see this joke being set up from a mile away? Because I sure could.
I mean, where's Dr. Ian Malcolm when you need him?
Right? The way that Stone's talking about this cow crop is the way that some people nowadays talk about, like, marijuana strains, because he's like, this one here is Northern Steered Blue, but your plant needs high-octane black gold. Those are weird names if I have ever heard them in my life, and I don't condone that, but, man, those sound like, you know, sour diesel and whatnot. Skull gets the bucket that the manure is supposed to be in. He sees that it's empty. And then Stone tells him that there's another bucket above him on the top shelf. What do you think is going to happen?
Hilarious hijinks.
Of course. He goes up this rickety ladder, grabs the manure, and sure enough, and Lieutenant Stone winds up taking a manure bath. And I saw that coming from like 10 miles down the road. There's no way they weren't going to do something like that. And my only note here is hit the showers, Lieutenant Stone, hit the showers. Did the slapstick make you laugh at all?
Not really on this one, because you saw it coming. Like, yeah. Maybe if I was, and again, I've said this before, we are people in their 30s, or we're just adults who are taking a kid show way too seriously. And you have to look at it from that perspective that way. It's like, we're just, you know, it is what it is there.
I mean, because we literally just had an episode with movie references, and part of me was like, that was a Back to the Future reference, wasn't it, kind of? Because, you know, Biff winds up crashing into a manure car.
Yeah. So.
So the Cogs wind up stealing Rocky's plants, because Rocky just gets ganged up on about all of his projects this time in Zeo for whatever reason. And they get transformed into these monsters. And the one monster has been called the Pollinator. Which makes no sense to me, because wouldn't that be a better name for, like, a bee monster?
Yes and no. I mean, a plant does produce pollen.
Yeah.
Depending on the plant, so I can see the logistics behind it. So, yeah, I mean, and it shoots pollen, you know?
Sure. I think that there would have been a better name, but... Even though I think there could have been a better name for it, I can't come up with one for it right now. So, joke's on me, I guess. But the monsters wind up fighting the Rangers, and Rocky winds up getting transformed into a tree. Do you care to talk about this point? Because I don't. I mean,
according to Rocky, Cat have some really nice leaves.
Yeah. Very. Rocky winds up transforming into a tree.
and this is why we really needed Billy.
Yeah. And so there's this thing about how, like, well, given the rate that it's turning him into said tree, we might wind up losing him, but then... And one of the problems Power Rangers has is that they have to wrap up plot points really, really fast, and they did not take their time with this at all. They put him in the oxygen tank from Deadpool, basically. And because plants breathe carbon dioxide, but he needs oxygen in order to kill off the plant portion. So they put him in this thing, and like not even 5 seconds goes by, and Rocky's through.
Good job, Alpha.
That feels like something that would have been like a cliffhanger back in the Mighty Morphin era. But whatever. I don't know. I didn't think that there was... Like, they introduced this plot point so late in the game, and they took care of it so fast that I just didn't care about it.
Yeah.
Like, there were no stakes there. But... For whatever reason, they decide to give these plants Rocky and Arnold impersonations. So, like, one of them says, you know, "Yo, Adrian," and the other one is like, "Was es das?" and says all these, like, kind of Arnoldisms, which I guess makes sense because Rocky's their dad. And, oh, yeah, Rocky. But yeah, like the episode kind of wraps up where Rocky's just like, man, I don't know what I'm gonna do with my thing, and I really can't remember the fight. It just kind of went by like a blur. Like, do you have any notes on that?
Not really. It was like a it's just like, I mean, they shot a weapon with pure oxygen for the win. Like, that's how they beat the monster. It was like, eh.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And And on top of that, like, yeah, no Zord fight. It was just a very quick and dirty, like, here you go. And I don't even think that they used any special kind of thing. They just used their, like, their power blaster, like, their weapons on their side. So,
yeah.
You know, another one for the day.
And then, of course, we end the episode with Bulk and Skull attacking a man mowing the grass.
Yeah.
So.
And that's how the episode ends. Yep. We kind of ended on a weak spot there.
Yeah, like, you had, like, two pretty decent episodes. Like, the Graduation Blues is obviously the one that hits a little harder. Because you think... You know, at that point, as a kid, you're thinking, oh, no, we're losing Billy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that episode hits a little hard. But, yeah, no. But then, like, yeah, you kind of end with, like, a little bit of a dud. This is, like, another episode of Rocky Just Wants to Have Fun.
Yeah. Rocky Just Wants to Have a Green Thumb. And I apologize, but I just cannot be bothered with caring about losing... yet another Blue Ranger when we've already lost, like...
The Blue Ranger.
The Blue Ranger. It's like, you know... I just couldn't be bothered because it was like... There were no stakes, and also it's a character I just don't like. So...
Yeah.
But the other episodes were good, and yeah. Happy to watch them and talk to you about them, and, you know... But let's go ahead and start wrapping up then.
Yes.
All right, so, Mike, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me on Twitter at @AthelandBomb75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and, of course, everything is on the website at txhdhockey.com, and for the show specific, /x75productions/VFTG, and @VFTG_PR on the Twitters.
Fantastic. And as for myself, you can find me on TikTok at Blue Ranger B-Rye, where I talk about all kinds of different stuff, including but not limited to Power Rangers. You can also find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek. You can also find me on CastRayStudios.com, where we're ramping back up production on things. Check out the OneDrunkGeek episodes. I've actually talked about some Power Rangers and Super Sentai toys on the show, and it's been a lot of fun. And with that, ladies, gentlemen, and otherwise, until our next more phenomenal episode, be sure to grab your Zeonizers and your Zeo Crystals.
And may the power protect you.